Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 10. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build.
Good morning. It's indeed a blessing to be in God's house and to examine again the Word of God. I want to thank the leadership here for giving the opportunity to me and to the other brothers who are able to present God's Word when Brother Eric is out of town. Well, that was for everybody. And now a happy Father's Day to all of the fathers. God has blessed us with opportunities to do what is right. And I say that because to be a father is indeed a blessing. Even though we find that in our world today, fatherhood is being diminished. It is not being taken seriously or admired as it once was. So much so that there are many homes today where there are no fathers. We have the single parent home where we find that in many of these homes, the mother has a dual role. But it's one thing that we must know, a mother cannot be a father. As true as it is that a father cannot be a mother, so it is that a mother cannot be a father, because God saw it fit to put two people together for the rearing of children. Children are an heritage from God. There is a responsibility, however, that has been placed on many fathers. And in our book, the Bible gives us many examples of fatherhood and the responsibilities that God has placed on fathers. In the Bible, the call or word father has been used about 1,100 times. And there's a reason for that. And for that reason, we would look at four types of fathers this morning. In these four types, and just in case that I didn't get to cover all of them, we have the patriarchal fathers. We have the autocratic fathers. We have another type which is labeled detached fathers. And yet, the fourth, the responsive father. What are we going to do with these this morning? Well, as we have seen here in Deuteronomy, that God gave a responsibility to the fathers that they should teach their children. Fathers have that responsibility to guide and direct the home. And yet, in the words of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, in those which we call parallel passages of Colossians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 on through chapter 6 and verse 4, we here find that Paul, in one instance, he said that fathers are not to provoke their children. We'll get to that a little in a more detailed way later. Any man, and I emphasize, any man can father a child. While it takes a special man to be a father. Just because someone has fathered a child does not make him a father. You have heard different sayings about fathers who have going around, they leave one child here, another over here, and another over there. Irresponsible. This is not what God intended from the beginning. That's why when he created man and he said that it was not good for man to be alone, he made and helped me. And gave him a wife. And just in case that, because the world had lost sight of that, when Jesus came on the scene and they tempted him, he said, in the beginning, it was not so, referring to marriage and divorce. In the beginning, it was not so. What was not so? For God made them male and female. And for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife. Man has a place in life. And a responsible father, his place is by the side of his wife. Just as it is with the wife, her place is by the side of her husband. God wants us to follow his dictates, not our own. If a man desires to be a good father, That man needs to be godly. Some people think that you can have a good father who is ungodly. If that were the case, then God didn't do it right from the outset. Because God expects that we should follow His dictate and not to follow our own ways. A child does not need to be terrorized by the father. Neither does that child need to be traumatized by the father. So that's why in Ephesians we find that Paul says, fathers, do not provoke your children. The equivalent of traumatizing a child. See, children are very delicate. And children must be taught. So we find that from the wise men, Solomon, he says to train up a child in the way that he should go, that when he's old he'd not depart from it. I am being told that that word and the idea of training the child means that you start from the moment in time when he or she is able to receive it. You know, you have some folks who say, well, that child is too small. They do not know that it is being said that some or children start learning even before they enter into this world from the womb. So when should the father start training the child? Don't be like some who say, look, it's yours. You take care of him or her. Honey, you know I have to look at the games. You take care of that. Don't want to take on the responsibility. Do not know how to bond with the child. You see, this bonding needs to start early. You have to start caring from a very early age. And as soon as he is able or she is able to receive it, that's when you start the training. From the point of view, as I've said, in the patriarchal time, the patriarchs were firm. They were reserved. Very strict. Because they follow after the way of God. In other words, they hold to the core. They hold to the values. The values that were determined and set forth by God. They follow the rules. They lead via their position as fathers. They were fathers indeed. Because that was the way that God expected them to live. And the children look up to those fathers. The fathers presented values, or if you might say the doctrine, the teaching And the duty of the family was to follow the leadership of the fathers. What has happened to fatherhood? Not here that there is an outgrowth. If there is poor parenting, if there is not the father figure or leader in the home, some very unhealthy things happen to the children. We find here that some of them become poor or average learners. They have poor or average motivational morale, and it involves with father via responsibility to father. They respond in a very positive way. Just a father figure. Let me say the autocratic father, on the other hand, is cold. Why is that the case? Because they are uncaring. What else do we find here with this autocratic father? He holds self above the cause. He's selfish. A man who is selfish and does not care about his children has no business having children. Man who does not take care. You know what Paul says again in his writing, that he who is not responsible, who does not take care of his home, that he is worse than an infidel. And has even denied the faith. It's a disgrace to what is happening to a nation that was once looked upon as a godly nation. We find so many things going wrong. But let me say this. Reason why so many things are going wrong in our society is because of the home, the breakdown of the values in the home. You cannot have a strong nation if the homes are weak. Even true, as well as the church. You cannot have a strong church if the homes are weak. Amen. The foundation is the way that God placed it, that the home is the foundation. Learning starts in the home. Amen. And if it's lacking in the home, the same would be in the nation. The same will be in our society as a whole. Strong homes will bring about a strong church. Strong homes will bring about a strong nation. Strong homes with committed fathers will have strong and committed children. Let me also say that besides the autocratic fathers, we have another group that we'd like to touch on at this time. The detached fathers. Not a very good one or a proud one to look upon. Why? Because with this type of father, they make no decision. In other words, the children rule. See, what the children decide, that's what goes. Instead of the father being there to guide. The fathers, these are fathers that are not involved. We got a saying that they don't want to get their hands dirty. Don't want to be a part of what needs to be done. Except they expect others to provide leadership. What do you think is best? Why would this happen? It's a chain reaction. You cannot give what you do not have. You cannot teach what you do not know. Break down and so we find that because there was a breakdown somewhere along the line, somebody's got to stop it. Somebody got to realize that in order to be able to correct the situation that is going on in the homes, in the nation, in the church, we must all return to God. There is an answer. And the answer is to return to God. Let His way be your way. Amen. Let His directive be yours, that you would follow what He says. And you know, did I not tell you that over 1,100 times the word Father is used? Why did God put it in there so many times? Because to God it is important. To God, that's the foundation. To God, that's how He expects His nation or the nations and the church and the home. Three institutions established by God. And they work together. That's God's intent. So we find that this detached father does not want to take the responsibility. Okay, what kind of father is he? Well, he wants his children to work their way into His favor. Do things to please Me. He is self-centered. He's selfish. He's not willing to share or give to the kids what they need to have from Him. The direction. The guidance. But he wants to be happy. Boy, you would do what I say. Boy, you would follow My rules. Not let me show you how life needs to be. Let me guide you. It's not training up the child in the way that he should go, but telling up the child. See, there's a difference between training and telling. Anybody can tell you something. But the whole thing about it, you got to be able to direct and lead the children the way that they should go. He can gain from his children. That's what he wants. You know, there says some people, and this happened in sports, they say, many times you find a father or one who has failed in sports or something in life, that they try to relive that in their children, to let the child be what he could not have been. This is the type of father that we're talking about here. How are kids, listen to me here, how are kids and mom to cope? I want you to pay attention. How are they to cope with a distant, uncaring father who is just concerned about self? How are they to cope with such a detached person? Person who does not care. The detached father. God says that there's a way to raise children. And the way to raise children is to raise them in a godly way. So this, who we may call the responsive father, what kind of life does he live? What kind of father is he? Number one, he's flexible. He's close to his children. He becomes involved with his children. He shares in the decision making with his children. He believes the cause, puts some value to it and to the cord. He believes in strength and respect and love. And he passes these traits on to his children. He leads. He leads with respect and love. He believes in the values and the doctrine. And he is one who explains. He explains in such a way so that it is caught, not taught. They get the message. Have you ever tried to work with a child and the child may say, but I don't understand it. And this happened a whole lot of people. I don't understand. And then as you work, maybe changing your technique, and then he says, oh, I got it now. I remember
my granddaughter, she was having a problem once with her math. Took her and showed her different ways how you could do it and arrive at the same answer. She couldn't get it one way, but then the other way she got it. And you could see that joy, and she said, "Oh, I got it now." See, that's what God expects, for us to work with our children, with our offspring, to teach them, to train them in the way that they should go. In this relationship, sharing material items, they use them as tools for the good, not to be used to control and manipulate others. God wants fathers who are godly and wise. So Solomon, he said, train up the child in the way that he should go. Do you know why Solomon said to train the child? Well, somebody says, well, so that when they're old, they would not depart from it. Turn to your Bible in the book of Proverbs, the 22nd chapter. And you look there at the 6th verse. I want that scripture to hold your attention. Did you see what it says? You say, well, you quoted it, you mentioned it. Okay. If you get that one, then go on down a little further and see why he says that you should train them, guide them, provide them the leadership. It's verse 15. Did you answer in the 15th verse? What are you saying, Solomon? He said, there's your answer. You train them, you guide them, you direct them, you do not leave them to their own way, because foolishness. When you leave a child to his or her own way, they're going to act out what is in them. There is foolishness in the heart of a child. And that's why he says it's bound in the heart of a child. But a rod of correction shall drive it far from them. In training there is discipline. You can train a child without discipline. That's a part of it. Bring them up in the way that they should go. But when they're older, they'll follow it. You see, you don't wait until they are teenagers to train them. You start early from their youth. Bring them up in the way of the Lord. Fathers, you have been blessed with a responsibility. And God expects you to live up to that responsibility. There are many people you can fail when you don't do what God asks you to do. You are a failure to self. You are a failure to the child. You are a failure to society. You are a failure to the church. But most of all, you are a failure to God. And we should not in any way try to fail our God. God wants us to do what's right. If you have been a failure, you don't have to continue that way. You can turn. You can make amends. You can come back to God. Change your ways. And we have the book that gives us all that we need in order to make things right with God. It is not fair for you to give the woman a part of you and leave all the responsibility on her. It takes two. How would you have loved it if God just gave you one hand? There are a lot of things that you won't be able to accomplish if you had what? One hand. But look so much we can do because God gave us what? Two hands. Working together, accomplish a lot. Husband and wife, man and woman, working together can accomplish a lot. Let God be true and every man a liar. God is right. If you are not a child of God this morning, God wants you to come to Him. He wants you to give Him your heart. If you turn it over to Him, He can work with it and make you what you need to be. He's given us the instruction as to what we need to do in life. You must believe. If you believe Him, you will act upon your belief. You will repent. If you believe Him, nothing will stop you from confessing that you believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. If you believe Him, you will be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If you believe Him, you will not sit or stay when the invitation is offered. And so as we stand and sing the song that has been chosen, respond to God this morning, and you'll be blessed forever. We'll stand at this time, sing the song that has been chosen.